We are near the end of the book of Job. The book of the Bible we started end of August, beginning of September, and we've reached a strange part of the book. If you turn to where our first reading was from, page 527 in the Church Bibles, you'll see that last time we finished at the end of chapter 31, and it says, "The words of Job are ended." So if you've been following the book, what should come next? We've had Job's final plea. And next? Well, I'd expect God's last word. The climax of the book is surely to hear the Lord's reply. But no. Not yet, anyway. Instead, in chapters 32 to 37, we get Elihu. It's confusing. But conversations are often confusing, aren't they? Now, it's confusing because some people think Elihu is a good thing and some people think the opposite. Some people think Elihu is a good thing because he's a young man cutting through the waffle of the old-timers. Can you see? Chapter 32, verse 6, Elihu of Barakel, the Buzite, answered, "I am young in years, and you are aged. Therefore I was timid and afraid to declare my opinion to. I said, let days speak, and many years teach wisdom. But truly it is the spirit in a mortal, the breath of the Almighty, that makes for understanding. It is not the old that are wise, nor the aged that understand what is right. Therefore I say, listen to me. Let me also declare my opinion." So, some people think Elihu is a good thing because he is a young man cutting through. Some people think Elihu is a good thing because he has at least listened. After all, he's been sat there through all these previous conversations. And he's listened before making his move and trying to make his mark. Verse 11, "See, I waited for your words. I listened for your wise sayings while you searched out what to say. I gave you my attention, but there was in fact no one that confuted Job, no one among you that answered his word." So he's listened all that time and not heard what he thought he ought to hear. And so now he's decided to put his pennyworth in. Some think Elihu is a good thing because his last speech sounds a bit like God's speech which follows it. All the stuff about the weather. Is Elihu maybe paving the way for God's reply? Well, I've tried to repaint the pictures of those who think Elihu is a good thing, but on the whole, I think the opposite. You'll have noticed by the subtitle, which Dave repeated, more of how not to do things. Because I think Elihu is basically a smokescreen. In any conversation, there are people who like the sound of their own voice, but don't actually add to what is said. They don't make things clearer, but rather the opposite, like a smokescreen. So let's look at several reasons why Elihu is probably best ignored, or at least perhaps considered like the friends, that is, more of how not to do it. For a start, we see in chapter 32 that Elihu seems too motivated by anger. Can you see right at the start, chapter 32? Just to point out that some motivation by anger is no bad thing. It is good to care enough about things enough to get a bit angry. But look at how many times the word angry appears in chapter 32, the first few verses. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then Elihu, son of Barakel the Buzite of the family of Ram, became angry. He was angry at Job because he justified himself rather than God. He was angry also at Job's three friends because they'd found no answer, though they had declared Job to be in the wrong. Now, Elihu had waited to speak to Job because they were older than he. But when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouths of these three men, he became angry. Elihu seems too motivated by anger, and that is surely not a good thing. It is an example of how not to do it. And then secondly, and this comes out in the next chapter, chapter 33 in particular, Elihu seems arrogant. I'll read the first few verses of 33. Just see how Elihu seems first full of himself, then he almost sets himself up as like God, then definitely gets superior, answer me if you can, before a bit of what I regard as false humility in verses 6 and 7. It's because the humility is hard to believe after what he said in the previous verses. So, 33, verse 1. But now hear my speech, O Job, and listen to all my words. See, I open my mouth, the tongue in my mouth speaks. My words declare the uprightness of my heart, and what my lips know, they speak sincerely. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Answer me if you can. Set your words in order before me. Take your stand. See, before God I am as you are. I too was formed from a piece of clay. No fear of me need terrify you. My pressure will not be heavy on you. Then he goes on to misquote Job in verses 8 to 11. He sums up what Job been saying, but he says it wrongly, so it's easy to knock down. You know how people build up a straw man and then knock it down as though that wins them the argument. But it doesn't if you misquote what the other person's saying. He misquotes him in 8 to 11, and then he lays into him in 12. But in this you are not right. I will answer you. So Elihu seems too angry and arrogant. Indeed, he's still in arrogant mode at the end of chapter 33. Now, the pattern of the three friends was this, wasn't it? Each spoke for a chapter or two, and then Job could reply for a chapter or two. But does Elihu let Job reply? Is he inviting conversation from anyone, or is he putting out these vibes? Just be quiet and listen to me. Verse 31 of chapter 33. Pay heed, Job, listen to me. Be silent, and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify you. If not, listen to me. Be silent, and I will teach you wisdom. It is rather arrogant, isn't it? And so, with Elihu, we get four speeches in a row and no reply in between them, no conversation. It's not so good, is it? It is an example of how not to do it. And then thirdly, angry, arrogant. Thirdly, Elihu is very critical and dismissive of Job, which is not good pastoral practice if you're dealing with somebody who's so down and struggling so much. Elihu's very personal, very negative against Job. And he's not even a friend. At least the friends were friends, and so they'd earned a right to pass on a few home truths. That's fair, isn't it? That's what friends are for. But Elihu's just a listener who wants to say his piece. And we don't win arguments or friends with personal put-downs. It might shorten the conversation. It might impress some others who are watching in. But the Lord is not impressed And it's not winsome. So now look at 34, verses 7 and following. Who is there like Job, who drinks up scoffing like water, who goes in company with evildoers and walks with the wicked? For he has said, it profits one nothing to take delight in God. This is Elihu throwing mud rather than engaging with how poor Job is and what he's actually said. He drinks up scoffing like water. It is a picture of saying how everyone's mocking him and he just drinks it up. And who goes in company with evildoers and walks with the wicked, as though that counts him against him and dismisses him. And then quoting him, again, misquoting him. And so the thing develops in this way. Elihu says, God is just, and accuses Job of being God's enemy. And so the chapter 34 ends with more put downs. 34, 35. Job speaks without knowledge. His words are without insight. Would that Job were tried to the limit, because his answers are those of the wicked. For he adds rebellion to his sin. He claps his hands among us and multiplies his words against God. There's another chapter of it, because at the end of chapter 35, it's summed up. Verse 16, Job opens his mouth in empty talk. He multiplies words without knowledge. And he continues, thinking Elihu, he himself, is on the Lord's side, speaking on God's behalf, against Job, who is on the other side. Chapter 36, verse 1, Elihu continued and said, bear with me a little and I will show you, for I have yet something to say on God's behalf. I will bring knowledge from far away and ascribe righteousness to my weight maker, for truly my words are not false. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Well, apparently Elihu is the godly man of wisdom and is so enjoying playing God's advocate that he has, well, he's lost sight, hasn't he, of Job's suffering. And the point of these conversations in trying to comfort the poor chap. Yes, there are truths in Elihu's speeches, but his pastoral approach is so harmful that the value of the truths is outweighed by the damage of the dismissiveness. So, three big reasons why Elihu is best ignored: too angry, too arrogant, too dismissive. It's worth learning the lessons of how not to do it. And then the biggest reason, there's a fourth reason why Elihu is best ignored, to finish with. And that is because God ignores him. At the end of chapter 37, Elihu ends his fourth speech, thought to be by many commentators his best effort. And at the start of chapter 38, God speaks. What does it say? Chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man, I will question you, and you shall declare to me. So the Lord takes up the conversation as though Elihu was not there. He carries on as though Elihu had said absolutely nothing. The Lord ignores Elihu and his contribution completely. No acknowledgement, no mention, no reference, nothing. And that's all right, I think. And what do you do if someone butts into your conversation, uninvited, uninformed, unhelpful? I guess it's gracious to let them finish. But then it's wise to completely ignore them. And carry on from where you left off if the conversation is to have some good fruit. And that's good and right. And so the Lord takes up from the end of Job's words and addresses Job, not Elihu. It's not rude. Surely Elihu was the one who was rude, butting in, being so arrogant, dismissive. Best thing to do? Well, graciously hear, politely ignore, and carry on from where you left off. And that's what we'll do next time with God's answer in chapter 38. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that it is true to life and what so often happens in this world. And that you show us good ways forward and bad things to avoid. Please, Lord, help us to learn from you, to follow you, to love you, and to be like you more and more. Amen.